peace of mind.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. I'm now joined by Vanessa Osinaru of City Connect. Vanessa, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Hi, thank you so much for joining us, Vanessa. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Why don't you kick off by telling the listeners a bit about your organisation and what it is you're attempting to do?
Yes, of course. So birthed out of a larger organisation called Connect Collective, City Connect is a platform that gives young people insight into banking, finance and economics.
Mm-hmm.
We do this through events, workshops, book giveaways and recently Zoom calls.
Right.
And at the same time, through City Connect, I'm connecting myself with young people just like me who may not even have an interest in banking and finance,
right,
but want to find a little inspiration, help and guidance in any area that myself or anyone I know may be able to help them with.
Right, okay. So is your background in banking and finance yourself?
Sorry.
Hello?
Pardon? Sorry, what was the question?
Sorry. I said, is your background in banking and finance?
Yeah, so I'm currently a economics student at a university, and I've had finance roles in the finance industry also.
Okay, so you're still studying economics as well?
Yes, I am.
And where are you doing that, Vanessa?
I studied that at UCL.
Right,
in London.
Okay. Yeah, okay. University College London. Yeah, absolutely. It's brilliant. So you're doing, you're staging events and information, I don't know what you call them these days, webinars, I guess, introducing young people to the world of finance. Are you looking at that from a careers point of view or from an understanding point of view or a bit of both?
I would say a bit of both, just because I want young people that come to me to experience the events, meet the leading experts in the industry, meet all these inspirational people, and then make the decision about whether they want to take the career route down in banking.
Yep. And of course, there's lots of different routes within banking as well, isn't there? Because banking and finance is a very widespread set of industries too.
Yes, it is. So someone like me, I used to think that banking and finance was so far from me. I used to think that there was no way that I was probably going to ever get a job in a bank. And it's funny because I started the platform to help others generally because I was also helped.
Yep.
So the way I actually got the role was in this industry. I met an amazing couple, and I'm going to shout them out. It's a couple in Croydon called Ebo and Shadia Duggan.
Uh-huh.
And I met them at an event that they were holding for their platform called Seekers World and Connect Collective. They started this platform after losing their brother to knife crime.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
What they do is they help young people in all aspects, from getting off a life of crime to giving them recruitment advice and funding young businesses as well. And at their event, I was bold enough to approach the leader, Shadia Duggan, and I was privileged enough to get a one-on-one with her.
Right.
And when I had this one-on-one with her, we went through literally everything. I was 16 at the time. She asked me about my past, my interests, what I wanted to go down. I had just literally finished my GCSE, so I literally had no idea about where I wanted to go. And she literally sat down with me. She went through everything. We went through my CV. She cleaned it up for me. And we decided together that after she got to know me, that investment management would actually be really good for me.
Okay.
So through her help, we started applying for different roles and internships, and I ended up getting a really good role within a US investment management firm in their London office here.
Fantastic. Oh, that's brilliant. And when you got to work there, can you tell us who it was?
So I was working for the firm Franklin Templeton Investment.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know if you know of them.
Yeah, my background was in the city, actually. So, yeah, absolutely. And when you got to work in that environment, what were your initial thoughts when you first started work there? How did you find it? Was it daunting, or did you take to it really quickly?
To be honest, I'm going to be very honest. The first thing that I realised when I first walked into that firm was the lack of diversity. I was actually the only black person in that firm, and I was the first intern apprentice that they had ever taken on in their London office. And I was the youngest in the firm. I was literally, my team, some of them were very young, but mostly I was around old white males. And I think that's why starting this platform was so important for me, because I don't know about what it's like in other banks, but the first bank that I was introduced to, there was no diversity at all. So I would say it was quite daunting, and it wasn't a scary experience, but there was a lot that I had to adjust to. There was a lot that I had to learn very quickly.
Yeah, sure. I mean, do you think with the young people that you're talking to about working in finance, do you think they are, that their belief systems is that they wouldn't be able to get jobs in that industry, when you initially start talking to them?
I think, to be honest, yes, because there's not a lot of young, there's no one that they can look at as someone that looks like them, that's doing very well in that industry. I think diversity is growing in the banking and finance industry, but it's not enough. Mm-hmm. And as a result, in our community, people my age, when they think about banking and finance, if they're looking for role models in that industry, if you're looking at senior people in senior positions, they don't look like them. So I would say that, yes, young people, when they look at the banking and finance industry, they see it as something that they can't penetrate.
Yeah, I think, like you, I do a lot of work in schools talking to young people about their career aspirations. And so many young people from all types of communities write off a number of industries because they don't think they'll be able to get into those industries for one reason or another. And actually, it isn't true. And one of the problems that I see is not enough people actually even try. You know, they give up before they've even tried because they don't believe they'll be able to get in there. And I agree with you. What it requires is more role models that actually, because there are people that exist. I mean, I haven't worked in the city for many years, but when I worked in the city back in the 1980s, there was I worked for bigger organisations than the one you work for, and there was quite a lot of diversity back then. Not enough, probably, but quite a bit. But, you know, people don't get the recognition for what they do, and therefore aren't put up as role models for younger people in the next generation to inspire and come into. So I love what you're doing, and I love... the thought behind the platform that you've put together to introduce this, because I think it's very important to tell people that they can succeed in whatever walk of life they choose to go and work in.
Right. And I think it's very important because I'm young, I'm black, I come from a community where we can relate to each other. There's other platforms that do the same thing as the eConnect. There's loads of other platforms that offer many jobs in the industry for diverse young people. But I think the only difference is that I'm someone that's leading it and I'm relatable.
Yep.
So when that young person looks at me, when that young person looks at me, they can see themselves in me. And when the work that I'm doing, I'm not doing it from a place where it's just a job and I'm just doing it because I want to look good. No, I've actually been there. I've actually had doors shut in my face. I'm actually from a diverse background. So I think what needs to happen in the business world is people who are running these platforms, people that are receiving funding from the government, from doing all these amazing things, need to be people that are doing it from a place of real love, real genuine desire to help young people, because they've been there and they don't want to see the next set of young people coming up doing the same thing.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. It's absolutely right. It is about encouraging, inspiring, and showing people that they can do these things and they can make a difference and they can get it. And I agree with you as well, Vanessa. You know, someone like you, a young person that's just starting out on their career, is a role model. You know, you're leading the way, showing people that it can be done, and then helping them by kind of facilitating them to do it too. And we need a lot more of that. One of the things that With the programs that I do a voluntary program called 30-30 that we take into, it's a free program that we take into schools. And one of the things about that is it's about career advice and telling people about what can be achieved, because one of the problems with our education system is that the careers support and careers advice within education isn't that brilliant. And I think that's a lot of the problem for young people right across the board. They just don't get access to someone like you to find out what it's like, because the beauty of what you're doing is, and the fact that you're doing it right now, is that you can explain to people what it's like to be doing it.
Exactly. I remember, it's funny you said that, I remember in secondary school I had one meeting with our careers advisor, and to be honest, I don't remember what I actually got from it.
Yeah.
And besides that small careers meeting that I had, in class, I feel like our teachers do give us the push to go for our careers and say, okay, you choose this and choose that, but there's such a lack of inspiration in schools, in classes, that young people just aren't inspired to think about the next 10 years because the teacher or the careers advisor that's telling them, okay, you can achieve this, you can achieve that, don't look like what they want to be.
Sure.
So I think it's important that you have people who actually are working within the industry or have worked in the industry, look exactly like them and are inspiring to actually speak to them and give them what they need. Yeah.
I think you're absolutely right. And it is about also hearing from people. You know, it's okay us older people coming along and saying, look, this is what a career in finance or any field, this is what it's like. And they go, yeah, whatever, because they don't relate to us. But you're right. If they can have someone in their own age group, from their own background, from their own community talking about it, it has a much stronger pull, doesn't it? Because then they're listening to someone that's actually been where they are and has done it. You know.
Exactly. And I saw online that you do career fairs. So I was even just thinking to myself that it's amazing what you do, but imagine having a young person like me. There's so many young people that I will be able to reach that you won't, just because I'm 20 years old. I'm 20 years old, by the way. So it's, when I'm thinking about business and, you know, how lockdown is ending, how now do we make sure that this, you know, how literally vacancies have halved and there's a lack of jobs now because of everything that's happened in lockdown.
Yeah.
How do platforms that are offering career advice actually begin to change their strategy to make sure that they're reaching the people that really need the jobs?
Yeah.
And I think it's important for someone who's able to connect with that next generation to be in the place and the positions in order to help business people like you who have already set it up platforms that are doing very well to connect the young people that need to be connected to these platforms so they receive the help that they need.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those things that's always been incredibly frustrating to me, is that we don't have very good careers advice, and not just in education, but in any other form. There is, you know, careers advice is kind of hard to come by. Which is why so many young people struggle to get into the world of work in the first place, because the careers is a massively big field, and it's also a fast-changing field. And like you say, you know, people want to hear from people's experiences now, not necessarily of the past. Although it can be useful sometimes to hear how people that have been in the industry a while, how they got into it, but It needs those role models, and I couldn't agree more. So, just coming back to your platform, when did you actually launch the platform, Vanessa?
So we launched in December 2018.
Right.
So we started off by running a event at the well-known insurance company firm Aviva Investors.
Yep.
Then we went on to do events at Metro Bank. We also started doing events at London School of Economics.
Yep.
So we tried to focus on our industry. We went into London School of Economics because it's well known for raising the next set of economists, the world's economists. So We was able to run events where hundreds of young people attended, and we had leading experts from all manner of companies like Goldman Sachs, Aon. We also had the special advisor of Theresa May, when she was president at the time, come to speak at London School of Economics. And it was just inspiring to hear from them. Even I organized the event, but I was sitting there and I was inspired.
Yeah,
I was
good.
So happy to literally be able to, you know, connect myself with these people, hear what they had to say about their journey in the industry, especially because I'm just starting off and there's so much you can learn from other people's mistakes, other people's challenges, their wins. And, yeah, that's how it started.
I think that's fabulous, and I think you've kind of hit the nail on the head with everything you were saying there. It is about, you know, sometimes doing the things that you're doing is also a learning experience for you, yeah? Not just on the platform side of it, but when people ask you questions about how you do this or how you do that or how you get into things, that inspires you to think about how you've done it or how you might do it or how you might go with your next step in your career. Now, you're studying at the moment, and economics, you said you were studying?
Yes.
And where are you in that? First year, second year?
First year.
And it's a 3-year course, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. So have you decided where you want to go once you've got your first in economics?
To be honest, I haven't. I know that in the investment management and the banking and finance industry is something that I definitely want to stay around. Boxing myself is something that I don't want to do. I love to learn. I love new experiences. I didn't wish to end up, you know, working in careers and worrying about people's careers. But if that's where I end up, then so be it. I'm just going to let life.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But you can do. It's one of those things that kind of happens to people, really. You know, you get passionate about something and you end up doing something that you hadn't intended to when you first started because you became passionate about something, and that's brilliant. And of course, there's no reason why you can't do both. You know, once you get yourself a job working in finance, there's no reason why you can't carry on with your platform because you then have even more experience to impart anyway. So that's brilliant stuff, and I really like what you're doing. At the moment, it's difficult, obviously, with COVID and lockdown, because you can't really get together.
Yeah.
You know, I'm assuming that anything you're doing online, the same as everybody else at the moment.
Correct.
But is the longer-term aim with this platform, to actually do physical meetings and get-togethers and forums?
Yeah.
Okay, and are you focusing on a particular area geographically, or are you taking this national?
I do plan to take this national.
Right, so you're looking at covering the UK with it?
Yes.
Fantastic, good stuff. Look, Vanessa, it's a fantastic thing you're doing. All power to you. The more that we can encourage and inspire people to work in industries that have a lot going for them, the better that we can do things. And we're going to need that more and more. You know, before COVID, we had a massive problem with skill shortages, not enough young people coming into the world of work. So, you know, and I think that once we've, you know, got past the problems that we've got at the moment, that will be the case again. So the more that we can encourage people to do what you're doing and go and look at these things that they maybe think they couldn't do otherwise, is brilliant. So give us a shout out for your platform again. Who's it open to? Who can use your platform?
So any young person that's interested in banking and finance, if you're not interested in banking and finance, that's fine. Just get in touch with us. There's other platforms, like I said, we are under an umbrella called Connect Collective.
Right.
So there's many other things that are going on that the couple that I did tell you about do also through their platform as well. So just get in touch with us if you need any inspiration, any help. If you're looking for connections, if you don't know what career route you want to go down and you want someone relatable to speak to, I'm here. And you can find us on any social media platform at City Connect UK, or you can go on our website at www.connectcommunity.com.
Fantastic. Vanessa, that's brilliant. Thank you so much for telling us about that. We really do appreciate it. I've put the details on the Kempis Radio website so that all of our listeners and followers can have a look at that, and it will stay there forever, basically. So the link will be there. If people want to find out, you just click on there. But give us one more shout-out for the website.
It's www.connectcommunity.com.
Connectcommunity.com. Fantastic. Vanessa, thank you so much for spending the time to tell us about that this afternoon. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you, and we wish you continued and much success with your fantastic efforts.
Thank you very much.
Okay, take care. Have a good afternoon.
Bye.
Bye. Vanessa Osinulu there, a young lady making a big difference to young people and their move into working in the world of banking and finance. Fantastic. Do check that out. We've got loads of tweets still coming in. We've got a Zoom catch up with myself and Jules that we're going to be doing shortly, and I've got some other stuff to tell you about if I can find my notes. Here we go. There's changes to the coronavirus job retention scheme. The Treasury has published guidance on changes to the job retention scheme, which kick in on Wednesday, the 1st of July. Employers will be able to bring back previously furloughed employees part-time and decide the hours and shift patterns they work to suit their business. HMRC is holding a webinar on the 23rd of June and the 30th of June. It's too late, we missed those. Where are we going here? Okay, www.gov.uk government coronavirus job retention scheme is where you can go to find out the details of the new changes to the new furlough scheme for employees. So basically, as of this Wednesday, you can start to bring employees back, those that are furloughed, and they can work part-time and still receive some government income whilst also doing some work. So go check out that website if you need any more information about what's going on there. Let me see what else we've got. Last year, I was pleased and privileged to be co-host of the apprenticeship graduation ceremony at Rochester Cathedral. It was due to take place again this year in October. Obviously, things have had to change because of lockdown and coronavirus and all the rest of it. So the apprenticeship will still be celebrated. And the organising team behind the first Kent and Medway Apprentice Graduation Ceremony, which was held last October, have confirmed that a celebration will take place on the 2nd of October, but in a different format. Wirebelt Chairman and project team member Paul Winter says, due to COVID-19, we, like so many other people, have had to look at future plans and events. Last year, we were lucky enough to congratulate 100 apprentices in Rochester Cathedral, together with their employers, friends and family, but this no longer seemed viable. We're determined to continue to show our support of apprenticeships, so we're pleased to say we will adapt and hold a virtual celebration on Friday, the 7th of October. So they're developing an online event. Who can be nominated? Any apprentice who has successfully completed their qualification at any level or discipline between 1st of September 2019 and the 31st of August 2020 and is Kent or Medway based or has a Kent or Medway based provider, and they can be nominated. So do check that out. If you want to nominate someone or if you want to find out more about it, drop an email to Alison Palmer at the FSB, and her email address is alison.palmer, P-A-R-M-A-R, at fsb.org. UK, Alison Palmer at fsb.org.uk, to find out about the apprentice graduation scheme happening virtually this October. Right.
This is Channel 2.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
I think what we'll do now is we'll catch up with the Zoom catch-up that I had with Jules last week. What do you reckon?
I'm here with the gorgeous Paul Andrews. We're both feeling very tropical. I'm in a very nice, fetching, sort of very colourful, very almost African, I would say, or Hawaiian. He's in black. Where's your shirt, Andrews?
It's black, isn't it? It reflects the sun or something. Or does it absorb?
No, yeah, that's the worst thing. You want to wear white, if anything, I thought.
I'm a ninja.
You're looking perky, though. Your face looks, your skin looks very nice and rosy and like you've had a shave. And, oh, the moustache is all gone and all the beard and everything. Yeah, you have had a shave.
I did have a shave, yeah.
Oh, it's much better than my new husband. He looks like, honestly, it's like living with a badger.
Yeah. All the people that have grown beards through this have been unbelievable, haven't it? And the blokes are even worse.
Well, my bikini wax is well overdue.
I don't need to know, thank you.
I am lucky I have an epilator, so my legs are fine.
Yeah.
But the bikini wax, I can't epilate. That's just too painful. So we're here in a very sultry studios, both of us in our individual studios. And we're going to talk about what's happening in the business bunker, business world. As always, use the hashtag BeBunker. Tweet us your stories of how your business is coping. It's at VanillaWeb and at Jules Serkin. We'd love to hear from you. So I believe you're going to rant at me, first of all.
Well, I am in a minute, yeah. I just want to say a huge thank you to this week's show sponsors.
Oh, I was going to ask you that.
Yeah. The lovely folks at Colin Bat Removals. So all your storage needs, document handling needs, shredding needs, temperature control needs, and removal needs can be handled by the lovely folks at Colin Bat Removals. Do check them out, colinbatremovals.co.uk.
Have they got a bat van?
Yeah, they have.
Batman.
Yeah. I want a little bit of a rant.
Oh, he's got his rant face on. Listen.
I've mentioned this before, but it's still driving me nuts. And for me, it's a massive opportunity for a big corporate to make a big difference if they really could be bothered. So let me just give you the details of my particular rant at the moment.
Yeah. I can't wait.
A couple of days ago, I ordered two items online from completely different companies, completely different items, okay? Both fairly expensive, but nothing out of the ordinary, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
Yes, I get an automated email from both of them. Thank you, we've taken the money from your account. Yes. Da, 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 da. They're scheduled to be delivered. I then get an email from company A saying, your product is being dispatched. I get an email this morning saying your product is currently out of stock and will be available in 10 weeks.
Mixed messages or what?
Well, yeah.
10 weeks?
Yeah, and the fact is it was bought for a birthday present for 3 weeks' time.
Oh, and 3 weeks is pretty much allowing, you know, that's pretty good allowing time, isn't it, 3 weeks?
Yeah, it's outrageous. In my opinion, because it should have said out of stock on the website and then I wouldn't have bought it.
But you do know my birthday was in May.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where your birthday present went. I haven't delivered it yet. The thing that annoys me is the message telling me this is out of stock is a no-reply email.
Yeah.
With no contact details on it.
When you can't communicate, it's awful.
Yeah. And so you go, what do you do? So you go on the website and it says, make an inquiry, and you just fill out a form, and nobody ever responds to them.
No.
So that was.
Are you going to name and shame the company, or?
Sorry.
Are you naming and shaming the company? Or?
Not at the moment, no, because this is a general problem that most companies have when they deploy this kind of technology. There's no humans involved.
Yeah, exactly.
And the technology goes wrong, and then there's no one to talk about it.
And those awful live chats where you're talking to somebody and you say what's wrong and they go, I'm so sorry to hear that, Jules. What is the problem? And you've already written it and taken 10 minutes. You've got, mate.
Well, funnily enough, my second problem falls clearly into that. My second problem is there's a delivery due next Tuesday for my other item. And I will name this lot. UPS has sent me a delivery email saying, we will deliver your item between 8 a.m. and close of business, whenever that is.
Yeah, it could be anytime.
On Tuesday. You must be there to sign for it. Why I've got to sign for it, I don't know.
I thought we weren't signing because of COVID. I thought they signed for us now.
Well, exactly. And however, I'm not in on Tuesday.
No, because it's Bunker Day.
Yeah.
Bunker Day.
So it's a no-reply email again, so I can't do anything about it. So I go into their website, and it says, put your tracking number in, which I put in, and it says, this is due to be delivered next Tuesday. We haven't attempted to deliver it yet. Well, I know that, yeah. So it says, would you like to upgrade your delivery instructions? Yes, I would. So I click on it, and it says, you can't do this because you're not a member.
What is a member anyway?
Yeah, so I sign up for membership of UPS. Not that I want it.
You've got shares in them now.
Yeah, yeah. So I sign up for membership, yeah, and you get all these. So I start signing up, and it says, put in a username and password. You mustn't use your own name or your email address as the username. The password must contain uppercase characters, lowercase characters, numbers, special symbols.
Things you'll never remember.
Yeah. And as a security requirement, can you tell me the colour of the eyes of the postman that your first pet bit? You know, yeah. I was like that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So I filled it all in. I registered. I go, right, I'd like to update the delivery instructions. And it says, you can't change these because they need to be signed for.
No.
Yeah.
So you're back to square one.
Yeah, so I go onto the online chat.
By which time you're steaming.
I'm really angry, and I go into the online chat. Hello, my name's Angelica. Can I help you? I hope so, Angelica. I've got a delivery schedule for next Tuesday.
They always have such gorgeous names.
Yeah. And I won't be in. And she says, sorry, I'm not understanding your problem. is it this, or this? So it's an automated thing.
Yeah.
No, or none of these. So I go, no, it's none of these. Okay, can you state what your problem is? Yes, I'd like to change the delivery address, the delivery details. You have to be a member to do that. I've signed up, I am a member. Yes, if you go into the membership section, you can change your delivery details there. No, I can't. Sorry, I don't understand your question.
Oh, my goodness.
And we just go round and round and round in that. So
this is what's going to happen if they just leave everything to robots.
Yeah, exactly.
And automated.
All those fans of AI have probably never used an automated system.
Oh, it is very, very frustrating. There's nothing worse when you're trying to sort something out, because we're both, and most people are, we're sorters. We like to sort something. But if you can't speak to someone, it's just awful.
Yeah. You know, automation goes wrong when something in the system isn't as they expect it to be.
Yeah.
And that happens an awful lot.
But I would think that's a fairly common situation. I won't be in on that day.
Think about it. From a UPS point of view, they're going to come all the way out here next Tuesday, and I'm not going to be in. And I knew I wasn't going to be in.
Can't they leave it at the little silver hotel?
No, that's even worse. That's even worse. I can't direct them to leave it anywhere else because it needs my signature.
But you can't sign because of COVID. They would have to sign.
And I can't sign because I'm not even here.
No. Yeah. Well, they could send it to Ashford, I suppose.
All I want them to do is to deliver it on Wednesday, not Tuesday.
Exactly.
Or some other day that's not Tuesday.
Yeah, any other day when you're at home. Yeah. I have a similar thing, and as you know, my lovely mum, who's 89, broke her wrist, and we spent the hottest day of the year at A&E in Margate, where that was a shambles, and we need a whole other show on that. And she didn't get seen for 6 hours, and she's vulnerable, and she hadn't eaten breakfast, and we didn't get home till 7 in the evening, and she didn't get painkillers. But so I decided, being practical, I'm going to do her a Tesco shop, because, as you know, I shop local, I use local shops, but I needed to get her things that I can't get in the fruit and veg and the butchers.
Yep.
So I did a Tesco shop of things like tin pineapple, which she likes for her arthritis, sardines, salmon, things that were easy to put in a sandwich, toss over a lettuce, whatever. And I got to check out, and it says, you've got over 85 items, you have to reduce it. You've got too many. But what it didn't tell me, Paul, was how many to reduce it by. So I didn't know how many I was over by to get back to 85. So I took off, you know, 4 tins of salmon and 2 tins of tuna. And then it went through and I got to check out.
You went fish list, did you?
I went what? So that
fish list. Fishless.
Fishless.
You've been the fish.
Yeah.
The fish.
Yeah.
The salmon and the tuna.
Yeah. So I got to check out. I'm thinking, thank God. I'm sitting in the car park, sweltering in my car, you know, for 6 hours. And I thought I might as well do something useful with this bloody Tesco shop. And as I check out, it says, Jules, here are some items you might like. We've got on offer kettle chips for £1. I thought my mum would love some kettle chips. We've got something else for £1. I thought my mum would love that. Put it in a pantry. If a friend comes round, sit in the garden, they can have kettle chips. Went to check out. You've got too many things in your basket. Bloody hell. So I reduced them, of course, checked out as quickly as I can, steaming, sweating, going mad. And then I thought, I'm getting this off my chest. And I went on the Twitter, and you'll see it. And I DM them, and they, you know, obviously they get you off to Twitter because I'm ranting, and I DM them. And I said, I've got down to the 85. Number one, help your customer by saying how many over she is so that she knows how many items to delete, because I might have deleted more than I needed to. Number two, once she's done that, don't then say, have a bag of crisps for £1, because that took me over again. And then I did put out on my Twitter, look, I wasn't stockpiling. You know, she said, we have a limit, you know.
I just eat a lot.
No, I said, my mum will find it very stressful getting a Tesco's delivery. You know, she doesn't want to answer the door. She can't, she's wobbly, you know, she's on steroids, which is why she fell in the first place. So I just want, in capital letters I put on my Twitter, one delivery, O-N-E. Hence, I bought 6 tins of tuna, 6 sardines, and 6 pineapples, you know? Not stockpiling. I just want one delivery for an elderly lady who's got a broken wrist, to which there was no reply. But so, yeah, it's online is, yeah. I much prefer local shops.
Absolutely. You get service there.
And you can talk to someone, Paul.
That's the big challenge. If I ran a big corporate, I'd be very much looking at how we can onshore, i.e. bring our customer service back to the UK, how we can have a default position where you can do things. I have to say, I did have a bit of a funny one as well with my dear friends at BT. They sent me an email saying, if you renew your package now, we'll give you a discount on BT Sport, yeah? So I thought, okay, I'm going to renew it anyway. It says, to renew, press here. So I press renew here, and it says, you can't renew.
Really?
Why can't I renew? No, sorry, you can't renew your package. You need to call us. So I ring, and unusually, with BT, you normally can't get through. But when you're trying to buy something, then they answer the phone straight away. So I got through to this lovely young lady, and I said...
Was it Angelica?
I got an email asking me to renew. I'd like to renew. When I tried to do it, it wouldn't let me. And she went, oh, typical. All right, yeah. Anyway, we started to go through the process of renewing, and she said, oh, sorry, my computer's ever so slow to reload. So I just said, you must be using BT Broadband.
BT Broadband, yeah, exactly.
And she said... Actually, I'm working from home, and no, I'm not using BT Broadband because I can't get it.
Oh, my goodness. Where was she based? Do you know?
No, I don't. No, she had a northwestern accent.
How did that go? Ayo, was it?
Yeah, exactly. The contrary thing, though, is that so many call centres and customer service centres are working from home. You know, they've got the technology now. Therefore, they've proved that it is actually quite easy to have human beings answering the phone. Yeah. Now, you might not want to answer the phone to everything, but surely there must be a default position that says, look, you've got a problem that our system can't handle. Why don't you speak to a human?
Yeah.
And then empower that human to do something about it. It's no good speaking to a human who goes, you know, sorry, computer says no.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what I dream of, actually? Because on my, I've got a free new box, and I've got all sorts of gizmos. I've got more remote controls for my telly than anyone. And what I dream of is to have one person, a techie guy, to come and say, right, Jules, this is what you need for your broadband, for your TV, for everything. I don't have Sky, but I don't like too many American things. That's the thing. I really like Brit dramas and things like that. But I would love someone, because I'm sure I'm spending far too much money on all these separate things, you know. But you know our friend Southeast Timber and Damp? You can find them on the Twitter.
The lovely Annabelle. It was her birthday recently.
Happy birthday, Annabelle. So you can find them on the Twitter at Southeast SE Timber Damp. And they were furloughed, and she said that they took the opportunity to implement a new CRM system, Paul Andrews. They've now, of course, got the ability to work remotely. They're really chuffed. They've got a VoIP system, and they're being in the middle of building a garden room for Dean to work in. So another adaptation of an SME, which is brilliant. Brilliant news. Well done, guys.
That's fantastic. No, that's really good.
And I was also very impressed to see this hashtag, which you can follow. It's the circular economy. And if you remember, listeners, a couple of weeks back, Paul and I were talking, Paul especially was talking about make do and mend and using things, not being a throwaway society. And I think personally, you know, my washing machine is a Blomberg, and I think it's from Germany. You know, I'm trying to at least back European, because I don't think I can get an English washing machine, can I?
No, they're all made in either America, Germany or Italy.
Yeah. So I went for a German Blomberg, but the circular economy, they're saying design things that can be repaired, that can be reused, remanufactured, and then ultimately, of course, recycled at the end. But I thought that was really good. So check out the hashtag, the circular economy, and see what you can find there. And I also Staines Farm Shop, I was a bit shocked that my strawberries that they delivered were in a plastic thing. Punnet, I think it's called. And then I looked at the label underneath, and it said, plastic recycled from the sea, which I thought was lovely.
So really? they went down the beach and fished it out and melted it down.
There's a lot of rubbish on our beach here, I can tell you.
Yeah. I'll tell you one of the other things I wanted to talk about. This will be going out in week 14 of lockdown.
God, has it been that long?
Yeah, and of course the government are now starting to ease the restrictions. We got 1 meter plus social media distancing, and we can open pubs and restaurants in a limited way.
What was the date for that? July the 4th, is it?
Early July. Yeah, okay. July the 4th, right, yeah, July the 4th.
But bearing in mind, Paul, that brewers, to brew a decent ale, need at least 3 or 4 weeks' notice, and they've got to, in their pubs, they've got to put in all the measures, not just, they can't just open, they're going to need a run-in, aren't they?
Yeah, well, as you know, I couldn't care less about the beer.
No, but I'll drink your share.
I just want me food. Yeah. Anyway, Amanda, Lucy and I are great aficionados of a local pub restaurant that only opened about 8 or 9 months ago. Lovely place. Yeah, really good. Lovely place, lovely staff. We go there quite a lot. Anyway, we get an email saying they're going to open in a limited way. So I go, let's go for dinner.
Yeah.
So Amanda tried to book a table, and there was no tables available for weeks and weeks and weeks. They've already booked up, obviously, because they've not got as many tables as they would have normally.
Yeah.
But, obviously, everybody's piled into it straight away.
Yeah.
I don't know how many tables they're going to have. Although I drove past, and interestingly, they've erected a marquee in the garden. Now, that's not going to work unless they roll the size of the marquee up, yeah? Because it's got to be out in the open air.
Yeah. Or they have a tightrope in there and some performing elephants, one of the two.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, that's bound to be it. I didn't think of that. That's bound to be what it is.
Billy Smarts, that'll be.
No, I just had a flashback then.
You walking a tightrope?
No. Back in the 70s, I worked in Paris.
Paris?
And I went to a club restaurant place called Crazy Horse.
Oh, yeah, Crazy Horse, yeah.
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 And basically, while you were eating your dinner, suspended from the ceiling were nets.
Yeah.
And there were scantily clad young ladies. Yeah, rolling around in a net above your head while you were trying to eat your dinner, which is one of the most disconcerting things I've ever been involved in, I think.
I used to, we're about the same age, I used to go there. I didn't particularly like it, but, you know, in my youth, I was taken there. And I used to go to a really good disco, and I've forgotten the name, in Paris. And there were loads of dancers on roller skates. It was so cool. And, of course, in Rome, when I lived in Rome in the 70s,
Folie Berger or something.
It wasn't called the Folie Berger, but it was quite a hip disco, and I can't remember. It was quite well known. It was a bit like Tramp in London.
Yeah.
And I used to go to Tramp quite a lot as well, but never saw Prince Andrew sweating or not sweating.
No, he was in Pizza Express smoking when.
And he can't sweat, apparently.
Yeah.
But I used to go also when I lived in Rome when I was 24. This is a whole other travel show. I used to go to a club called Jackie O, and that was good, named after Jackie Onassis. And, good times. I mean, we wore flares. We wore loons. I mean,
exactly.
Who even knows what a loon is? I mean, I used to love loons.
But we do now, because everyone's a loon now. We've all gone completely bonkers, haven't we?
We're all batty.
So, anyway, the pubs and restaurants are opening gradually. It's not the easiest thing in the world to actually get a table right at the moment.
Well, it's the queuing. I mean, in Whitstable, our local fish and chip shop in Harbour Street, VJ Jones, has had to close because a builder cocked up something. And so our Tankerton one now, Aussies, there were queues for miles yesterday, all day, every day. So it is time to open. They've got to open things because people are just fed up with cooking. I mean, thank goodness it's summer, because all I do is slap out a salad, you know, and bung some meat or fish.
I mean, just being serious for a moment, there's been lots of trouble for the last few nights in London.
Brixton.
Really illegal music. Yeah, Britain. Last night it was Notting Hill. And Ladbroke Grove, there's loads of trouble there as well.
Bournemouth Beach, they were turning people away. And where was it? Canber Sands.
Canber Sands was closed, and then last night there was an illegal rave on Laysdown Beach.
Really? Well, our beach here is feral. It really is, Paul.
There were two stabbings at Laysdown last night.
It is bad. I didn't go to the beach at all yesterday, and in the old days it was like that on a Saturday and Sunday. Now it's just heaving the whole time, and there's kids just drinking and unconscious on the beach.
The problem is we've got most of the population are not at work.
Don't have to get up.
They're still being paid. The weather's scorchingly hot.
Yeah.
We're drinking all day, and there's nothing else to do. So everyone's going to the beach or going to parties or whatever. We've really just completely forgotten about COVID altogether for hundreds of thousands of people. We really need to start unlocking at a faster rate than we are in terms of getting people back to work, as far as I can see.
There are far too many people, let's be honest, who are on cushy furloughs being paid, who would rather sit in a park or a beach on a deck chair.
Wouldn't we all? I mean,
exactly, and be paid for it.
Yeah, wouldn't we all? You know, you're getting paid to sit at home. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so we need to unlock it now. Thankfully, from July, the job retention scheme changes and you can go back to work part-time. So I'm expecting to see a lot of people return to work, at least on a part-time basis.
But until the schools open, all these mums and parents at home won't have childcare. So it's it is difficult. I mean, I've started to allow my cleaner in again because I was doing it at weekends in the evening and I just thought she needs the money. I don't want to be doing it on a Saturday. So she's back. We don't see each other. But, you know, she's back.
Cool.
But for me and Paul, well, we've had quite a rant, listener, and do tweet us for next week and let us know what your thoughts are on all of this. But for now, for me and Paul Andrews, it's a big goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. See you next week.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.
Well, so that was my catch-up with Jules. We had a good old rant there about delivery services and all kinds of nonsense, as you heard. I've still got quite a few tweets, a lot of people following up on both the guest interviews that we had. Oh, now I've lost it all. I had a tweet
from Tracy. Where's it gone? Sorry. Anyway, I've got a tweet from Ibiza Fitness Foods who are saying, we are happy to deliver freshly made meals to your home or office, all cooked from scratch. And they've got a video of them cooking gnocchi in the kitchen. I like a bit of gnocchi. They're small potato dumplings, Italian potato dumplings, gnocchi, for those that have never tried it. That's Ibiza Fitness Food. Do check them out. I had some tweets lined up. Paul Manville was incredibly rude to me on Twitter. Paul from DC Weddings was trying to insinuate that I eat too much cake, when of course I don't. Oh yes, I do. But the lovely folks at White Rabbit Cakes were saying that it's okay, I can eat their cakes because there's no calories in them at all. None whatsoever. No, not a single calorie, which is brilliant. Tracy Ferguson says, I enjoyed the interview with John from the legal website, Everyday Legal. From my only real experience with a legal professional during divorce, I remember having to pay for everything up front, which was hugely expensive, and I wasn't treated with much empathy, whereas his website and services sound great. No, absolutely, I couldn't agree more. Professional services of all kind need to up their game. They need to start changing their business models, because they're very outdated, a lot of them, and they need to move with the times before they get disintermediated. Tracy also says about Vanessa's Connect platform. Sounds like a fantastic platform, and who better to inspire a young person than a peer role model who is still on their journey and is relatable to them. So I couldn't agree more, absolutely. And we really, really do hope that Vanessa carries on being as successful as she is with introducing young people into the world of finance and banking. She's doing a fabulous job of doing that and inspiring people. Do keep your tweets coming, although we've only got a minute or so left of the show. So I think I probably need to wrap up now. If I've missed your tweets, Ibiza Fitness Foods say, thanks for the shout out. And here's some more pictures of our food. So do check them out. Ibiza Fitness Food. Their Twitter handle is IBZ Fitness Food. Do check that out and give them a follow on Twitter. But I think that's us at the end of another Business Bunker show. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm hoping that sometime in the next week or two, I can have another person in the studio with appropriate social distancing. So I'm hoping to welcome back Jules as a co-host in the next week or so, and that will make things a bit better and a bit more dynamic. But for the moment, I want to say a huge thank you to my two guests, Mr. John Davis of Everyday Legal and Vanessa Ossinluru of City Connect. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for telling us all about what you do. It's much appreciated. Thank you to everybody that tweeted and emailed and supported us during the show. Hope you all have a fantastic week. We will see you all soon. Bye for now.